welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in the message with the passage of Scripture we actually started out last weekend. It's Romans chapter 7, verse 21. This is the Apostle Paul just kind of describing this dilemma that he's going through. He says, I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills and wants, desires to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so last week, we started off a series called New Creation Thinking. And as we kind of introduced this new series, we said, you know, there are three players that are involved in this classic battle that the Apostle Paul describes here. He says there's this inward man, and this is what we say, this inward man is the new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This inward man, which was created in righteousness and true holiness, this inward man where the old passed away and all became new, the child of God with righteousness in your very spirit, this is the gift of the new birth. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus. You got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. This is the miracle of the new birth that happens when somebody calls upon the name of the Lord. You got this player. He's your new creation, brand new human spirit that God created. But this guy wants to do the right thing. I mean, you got the new creation. It's not just the new creation. You got the Holy Spirit living in your spirit. You got the love of God shed abroad in there. So there is desire, there's strong desire in here as his workmanship to do the good works he's ordained you to walk in. That's all part of this new man, this new creation guy, as far as one of the players. But I see another law, verse 23 says, in my members, all right? That's what we call the flesh, all right? Now, when you think of the flesh, you think of a body. You might think of your physical body, the physical flesh, and certainly that is a sense of physical flesh, but the kind of flesh that the Scripture refers to when it says flesh isn't so much talking about your physical body, but it's talking about the appetites that a mortal, fallen body has, sinful appetites. In other words, we said the body is mortal for a reason. It's dying for a reason because your physical body has been infected with sin and it causes it to die. Well, not only does it cause it to die, but along with it come a lot of different appetites that aren't right either, all right? That's part of the mortal body human condition that we got here. So Paul says, I see another law in my members, and that's really what this law is. Warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law to the law of sin, which is in my members. So that law that he sees in his members is a law of sin. Part of his mortal condition comes with this law of sin and death that is warring against, he says, warring against the law of my mind. So player number one is this new creation in Christ Jesus. Player number two, we've got in your members, your body, your mortality, your humanity, your flesh, this law of sin and death that doesn't want to do what God wants you to do. He has a completely different agenda, all right? But they're both communicating to this guy in the middle. He says, the law of my mind, all right? The thing that the new creation has in common with this law of sin and death in the flesh is they both have common access to your mind. They're both influencers on your mind. And so the Apostle Paul is going, man, there is a desire in my spirit to want to do the right thing. But I see another law in my members. My body's fighting me, okay? And when we said the flesh here, we're also kind of assuming along with it, you hear the flesh, the world, and the devil. Well, really, the world and the devil are just influencers on your flesh. They feed your flesh. They agree with your flesh. The flesh, the world and the devil says, your flesh is right, all right? In the same way, the Holy Spirit says, no, your spirit's right. The word is right. The witnesses on the other side are just the world and the devil, and they will agree and sympathize with your flesh, all right? So I'm saying flesh, but I'm kind of including in that, if you can just think of it, the influences of the world and the devil that play on the flesh, all right? So we've got these three players, if you will, in this battle. And that's what we looked at last week, was what we called understanding the battle, okay? And so those are the players. And the objective of the battle, I mean, the objective of new creation thinking, really the whole purpose of the series, is to live from this man. To live from your new created spirit. To live from the child of God that he made you to be. All right? To live there. You know, the scripture, I think in Galatians, he says, if we walk in the spirit, let us also live in the spirit. There's a place where the objective is to live from here. You know, and a lot of times it's hit miss, you know, where we might do some spirit-led stuff and then yield to the flesh and other things. But there, like we said, kind of starting off the series, this is kind of a special time. This is a time where there's an upward call of God in Christ where we're being called to grow up. We're being called to come up into who we are in Christ. Like we said, before the sons of God can be revealed in the earth, the sons of God have got to be revealed to the sons of God. We've got to take our place here before it's going to ever show up out there. And so there's a call I just sense in this time for us to be who we are. You know, people all around say, I want to find myself. Well, you know, it's great to find yourself, but what good is finding yourself if you're not going to be yourself once you find yourself? Right. All right? So we found ourselves in Christ. Now it's just time to be who we are. It's time to be what we found. And this is, again, this is a grown-up message. I get it, all right? But I'm excited because I sense we're here. Yeah. We're ready for this. And so We talked about that last week. You understand the battle, but man, the objective is this. But in the process of this objective, when you see these three guys, you see these three players, when you are being led of the Spirit and your mind is in harmony with your spirit, it's awesome because it's like two against one, you know? But when you yield to the flesh and all of a sudden your mind comes over on this side, then it's like one against two. You know, and you're kind of fighting that battle. And you technically know you're a new creation, but man, it doesn't feel like it, all right? So you've kind of got these battles going on. That's what Paul's describing here. And so this morning, take a look at one more scripture here. The Apostle Paul kind of rephrases that thing another way. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That's these two guys here. They are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's it. There's two you's in there. So that you do not do the things that you wish. Remember the Apostle Paul said, there is no good thing that dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. All right? So he defined himself in a few different ways. There's that battle that you've got between the two you's going on here. But what I want to look at this morning is that word lusts. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now, the word lust simply means strong desire, all right? We typically think it in a natural connotation. We think of lust as a sexual term. But really, in the technical biblical sense, it's really not explicitly a sexual term. It just means strong desire. That's all it means. In fact, that word lust in the original Greek can be used in a very positive way. Remember when Jesus was having the Passover, he looked at his disciples and he said, I have greatly desired to eat this, this Passover meal with you tonight. It's the same Greek word for lust. All right? He obviously wasn't talking about something negative. It was just a strong desire for that fellowship of that meal. And then Jesus said, well, you know, don't lust after another woman or you committed adultery in your heart. That's a negative connotation of strong desire. But the word is simply lust. And you can see the flesh has strong desires against the spirit. And the spirit has strong desires against the flesh. And where do they clash? Right here. This is where you're hearing it. This is where you're hearing those strong desires from the spirit and the flesh side right here. Okay? And so what I want to look at this morning, what we're calling the new creation thinking, dealing with lust. Dealing with lust. And when I'm, again, strong desire. The Apostle Paul describes this battle in terms of lust, strong desire. And again, we're growing up, we're coming up, we're going maybe where we haven't quite been before. And like I said last week, we're going to get in the weeds of things. And we're going to get in the weeds this morning. We're going to get into nitty-gritty detail regarding lust. Because this is where we live. And this is where things change ultimately, right here at the inflection point of lust. Strong desire. And so we're going to take this little passing phrase. Oh, the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, they're contrary one to the other. We're going to take lust and we're going to put it under the microscope this morning. We're going to take a really close look at this inflection point. And what we do here, and I'm just believing God is just going to help us to understand some things, because when you're in the battle, when you're in the thick of it, you know, and you're just, especially when it's one against two, you know, you got your mind working with against you, and your body, of course, is working against you. There's some things that you got to, that's a vulnerable spot. Strong desire. Lust is strong desire. And the Apostle Paul, it's strong. Okay? So I want to, again, put it in the microscope. We're going to go some levels we've been before, and then we're going to go beyond where we've been before in talking about this subject. Okay? So just kind of get ready, prepare your heart, because we're going to take on lust. So the seduction of the flesh. How does this happen? The scripture says in James 1, 13 through 15, and remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. No. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away, and these desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That's the trajectory of the enemy. That's why the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Well, what do they mean? Is death. It's the trajectory of the carnal mind. It's to get you to lure away, to get into sin, to get into temptation, and when it's full grown, to ultimately to try to take you out, to try to destroy you. That's Satan's ultimate goal, steal, kill, and destroy. So it's important to understand that trajectory. But we see that when it comes to dealing with lust, we've got to realize we're drawn away of our own desires and enticed. All right? This is something we're answering that call in this direction. And, you know, when you go back to the very first time this happened, I mean, you go back to the garden. You know, before man ever fell, Satan is introduced to us. He's not introduced to us as a liar or even as an accuser of the brethren. He's not introduced to us as some arrogant one who wants to exalt himself above the throne of God. None of that's there. He's introduced to us in one word, subtle. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any other creature of the field. And this action right here, the seduction of the flesh, is something that the enemy does subtly. You could be right here. It could be two against one. And the next thing you know, you're over here and you're thinking, man, how did I get here? He's subtle. You might hear something, see something that reminds you of something, and pretty soon you're down a path, an old thought pattern, you're over here. You're drawn away. You're dragged away. It's a subtle thing. And when you deal with lust, you got to realize your own vulnerability as a human being. That's not to take away what God did here. This is still here. This is still true. This is still intact, but you still got this to deal with. And the first part of realizing dealing with lust is your own vulnerability to it. There is a seduction. God isn't doing the seducing. It's the flesh, the world, and the devil that seduces us in this direction. And he wants us to keep going in that direction until it destroys us, ultimately. That's his goal. But as we're dealing with that, we got to realize also, too, the seduction, the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. Those are going to be the things that pull you in this direction. What are those? The Apostle Paul said, now the works of the flesh are evident. These are the things that are calling you over here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. And we kind of think of these things as the classic flesh. You know, the sexual desire, sexual perversion, all that different kind of stuff that you think of the flesh. But unfortunately, a lot of times, our thoughts of the flesh will kind of stop there. Keep going. It says idolatry. Now, idolatry is really talking about, if you kind of look under the hood in that word, it's talking about covetousness. It's talking about greed. It's money a lot of times too, where you're trying to get rich quick. You get, you know, the love of money where your heart is, your treasure is also. So underneath that idolatry comes a lot of the different financial, greed, covetous type stuff. Sorcery in the original Greek is pharmakeia. It would be what we'd call drugs. You know, just that kind of escapism, some kind of a quick fix there. So, you know, that, I guess, we'd say the classic flesh can go up there. And even when you look at the very bottom, you know, verse 21, when it talks about murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, think, yeah, flesh. That's classic flesh. Call it classic flesh, because you just think of that when you think of flesh. But sandwiched in between verse 19 and 21, we see some other things that are called flesh as well, too. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy. That's right along there with adultery and drunkenness and revelry. It's all flesh. And a big part of understanding and dealing with lust is to understand what the lust of the flesh is as you're getting drawn away to recognize it. Because lust, strong desire, isn't just for the addictive stuff or those things that you know are wrong, and, you know, those are definitely part of the things, but hatred, contentions, jealousies. You know, we've talked about this before in some previous messages, especially talking about depression, you know, exposing depression, sparking hope. A lot of times when you're dealing with stuff over here, there's that stuff from hatred through envy, hatred, contentions, jealousies, that's relational stuff. That's a lot of times narrative stuff. That's people stuff. That's, you know, what, who did what, when, where, all that kind of stuff. And you look at it, there's flesh there. And sometimes we'll give a pass to that stuff. We'll say, hey, I'm not engaging in adultery, fornication. I'm not boozing it up. I'm good. But you could still be seething with hatred and contention right over here, and you're just as bound as the drunk. You're just as bound as the alcoholic. It's just as addictive. You're drawn away. You could see things, you remember things. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. God doesn't want us in this place. What do these things all have in common? They're all flesh. They're all addictive. And they're all strongly against the things of the Spirit. Have you ever found when you're dealing with hatred, jealousy, and contentions, just the idea of forgiveness is just, ugh. You don't understand. They strongly oppose each other. And this is where it's important. This is where we got to grow up. This is where we got to be ready to go on with God right here, to get free from the lust of the flesh. You can have a lust problem, you understand, with hatred, contentions. Just take the other side, just kind of, almost instinctively. That's flesh. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Now, the Bible says you can be angry and sin not. There's nothing wrong with feeling pain or hurt when somebody does something to you. Nothing wrong with saying, ouch, if you get your thumb hit by a hammer, all right? And that's the way it is when things happen. Nothing wrong with ouch and crying out. We're going to get into that. But sin not, all right? Satan doesn't want you to stop at saying ouch. He wants you to come over and use that ouch as a justification for sin, as a little blanket, security blanket to justify sin when you've got an ouch. God deals with us and says, call flesh, flesh. And this is a big part when we're dealing with lust, to realize that strong desire isn't just classic stuff. That strong, I've kind of called this in a previous message, the middle flesh. Did a message on that about a year and a half ago, just called the middle flesh. And it's really just dealing with those right there. But that's part of recognizing this thing, okay? So when we're talking about this seduction from the flesh, we got to realize these are the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. And you can tell when, because the Bible says, and we'll kind of get into the next section here. Let's go ahead and do that. And this is what I'm simply calling the negotiation, okay? There's a seduction of the flesh. I'm pulled over here, and okay, I'm here. All right, I'm dealing with lust. Now I got to deal with it. And this is what I'll simply call the negotiation. As we're dealing with the negotiation, all right, in other words, you got the two sides strongly desiring things in your head from the spirit side and the flesh side. There's a negotiation that happens over here while you're dealing with lust. Romans 8 says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Now, as you are drawn over here, whatever that is, however the subtlety of the enemy plays on you and gets you here, and you find yourself here, you find yourself in a place of carnal-mindedness. That's where he's trying to get you. I just need to get this guy carnally minded. Because spiritually speaking, if you're carnally minded, you're not subject to the law of God, and nor indeed can be. You know this flesh guy wants nothing to do with the things of God. But when Satan can get you in that position where it's one against two, he's really going for the carnal-mindedness right here. In other words, I'm feeling sorry for myself. I am angry. I am stirred up. Hatred, contentions, or it could be just classic lusting, fleshing, passing over the things that you just want. Maybe an escape, you know, just something, a pleasurable escape, whatever that form of strong desire of the flesh might be. It's important to understand that lust covers that spectrum. That's what I really want to get across this morning, so we address the weights and the sins that so easily beset us and see them as such. But here we see that what the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to get us carnally minded. Because when you're here, and it's really one against two, and you're in that temptation, you're feeling the passion of lust, and you look over there, you look over to the mind for a feeling or for an inspiration, or you're looking for something, and that mind is carnally minded. He's kind of like the, it seems like at the airports, you see these guys when they're landing planes, they have those two like big red sticks, you know, where they're directing things and doing that. It's like your mind is here with those two big red sticks, and he's just going like this. He's just pointing in the direction of the flesh. He's just agreeing with the flesh. You know, you're looking over here, throw me a bone, little inspiration, but nope, it's just all flesh. And it's vulnerable. You're getting no help. You're not feeling it. You're not thinking it. You're dealing with strong desire Flesh is strong desire. And like I said, we're all, as we're dealing with that, we've got those different dynamics, two against one, one against two, different things like that. But when you're here and you realize that, okay, you know, I'm not getting any help. I'm negotiating. I'm kind of down to a path, and the Holy Spirit's going, isn't right. You know, there's something there. But it's yet, I think it's like a checkmate in your mind. Strong desire. We're dealing with lust. It doesn't say the flesh patty cakes against the spirit and the spirit patty cakes against the flesh. It's strong desire. And when we're here, when we're dealing with this, a lot of times we just think, man, you know, I just wish, because I'm not feeling it, and I know technically there's a spirit man over there somewhere, but, you know, I won't even know it. But right here at this point, when you've got that going on, this is where, and I'm just kind of talking to me, negotiating, this is where I can feel sorry for myself. You can have a spirit, you got to get past your own spiritual victim complex here. Yeah, I know the right thing. Yeah. You're not feeling it though. You're being nagged by your theology at this point. And you're feeling sorry for yourself as you're being nagged by your theology. And I do better than most people. And yeah, I know better than that person. And, you know, and just kind of, you know, playing and just, it's like cement shoes to even think of going in that direction at all, you know. And so it's like, oh, God, you know what? And you think, man, and I'm just saying this now to just kind of reveal some things. As I've walked through them too, I think, man, if there was just right here, if when there's just absolutely zero thing about me that wants to go and do the right thing, what if at that point you could take a pill, just two Holy Ghost pills, lust busting, temptation busting pills? You take these two pills, man. By the time they're going down your stomach, you're just praising God. Just automatically praising God. I mean, it's like all of a sudden it's like you just have a craving for the Word. It's just immediate. And it's like, oh, before you know it, you're just getting revelation. And all you got to do is take those two pills. You think, and I'm just talking about my victim complex. I have to do that. And all you have to do is take two pills. Would you do it? Would you take the pills? You wouldn't. You think, oh yeah, well, there's no willpower in taking a few pills. Yeah, I would do that. There's bigger things going on here. It's really not about how easy and hard. There's bigger things going on here. Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's done the heavy lifting. It's not about hard and easy. There is a suffering of temptation. There's no doubt about it. When your spirit's pulling one way, the flesh pulling the other way, there's a suffering of temptation. I'm not saying there isn't a suffering. There is a suffering. But it's not the suffering of temptation that makes you free from the law of sin and death. It's the law of the Spirit of life that does the heavy lifting and makes you free. So we're talking about negotiating. There is nothing in my flesh. As I'm negotiating and my mind isn't working, I'm realizing that there's something else going on. So as I'm here, there's someone I can look to. Because this is where we've got, at this point of inflection, we got to remember Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. 2:18 says, for because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, he's able to run to the cry of assist, relieve those who are being tempted. It's amazing. But our high priest, one of the things, reasons why he had to become like us, so Jesus could experience this. Romans 8 said, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had to in all points be made like us so that he could be a faithful high priest, tempted in every point. He understands what it's like to feel that pull. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh in a way that made him subject to temptation, like we are. And because, verse 18 says, because of that in his humanity, he is able to run to the cry of, assist and relieve those who are being tempted. There's something to remember right here. We have a great high priest, Jesus, who totally understands, gets what we're going through. And this is kind of where, I don't know if you've ever seen those wrestling, all-star wrestling, those wrestling matches and things like that. They'll have tag team wrestling. And so you got two partners, and one of them's in the ring and they're going at it, and he might just be really getting beat up bad, but if he can just reach over and tag off on his other partner will come in and help him come back. Jesus is, he's like, he runs to the cry. Right here, we have the ability to do something. I mean, how much faith does it take to take a few pills to feel better? No. I mean, how much effort? He's just saying he's going to run to our cry, to our prayer. Right here, it's faith where we can pray. We can pray. And that's where he says, come to the throne of grace for mercy and grace to help in time of need. And a lot of times, the reason why I haven't had help from the Lord here is because he's had nothing to run to. He runs to the cry of. And so it's at this point we can cry out for our high priest, Jesus, Lord, Father, God, help me in Jesus' name. I need help. I need help. Jesus said, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Enter into it. Pray, Father, Jesus, help me in the name of Jesus. I just pray for that help, that mercy and grace to help in this time of need, to relieve, assist. That's something you can do. Now, what we're talking about? We're talking about negotiation. I can't find any help from my flesh here. I can find help at the throne of grace. I can find help from Jesus, who loves me and who gave himself for me. Now, sometimes I've taken that help. Sometimes I've prayed. But sometimes that desire, that strong desire, can be so strong that I forget I even have that help sometimes. I don't think about that help. It's there. It's right there. Are you going to take it? If you had that access right there to help, would you take it? There's something else going on here. I'm kind of getting to some place here. I feel like I'm in a Matlock episode. Just bear with me, Your Honor. I'm going somewhere with this. But a lot of times we get tripped up and it's so hard. There's bigger things going on here. There's grown-up stuff going on here. And just getting past the weights and sins always easily beset you, so you can be free from that. There's something bigger going on here. I don't care if you had that pill right there that can make you instantly spiritual. You wouldn't take it. You think you would. Oh, I would take it. Yeah. But that means you got to stop the narrative. It means you got to stop the flesh. It means you don't get your digs in. It means you can't satisfy your flesh. It's not just a matter of God strongly desiring you to come here. There's a strong desire here. And when that strong has a grip on your mind and it has a grip on your body, that's a strong grip to break that grip. You could have those pills. I don't, you know, think about that. You got to stop the contentions. You got to stop it. I mean, you could just, you're right there on the flesh and all of a sudden it'd be like a cold, those pills would be like a cold shower to your flesh. If it was classic stuff, whatever you want to say, would you take them? They're right there. There's bigger things going on here in passing these tests. Again, we're talking about the sons of God getting revealed to the sons of God. Negotiation. Can't negotiate with the flesh. I do have the throne of grace there. I know that there's help for me in my time of need. At some point over here, as I'm negotiating, there comes a reckoning. The temptations in your life are no different from what others have experienced. They're common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So here we've got that promise of God right here. And I know one thing about this thing. No matter how checkmate it might seem or feel, it's common to man. And Jesus passed this test. And he didn't just pass it for himself so that his blood could remain pure to redeem my sin. He passed it for me for now too, so that he could be a faithful high priest and get me. He passed that test for this moment, for this inflection point of strong desire. He did it. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. A lot of times when we get here, we think, oh, this is too much. This is too much. I thought God said he wouldn't allow me to be tempted beyond what he... This is too much. You're looking to negotiate with your flesh. No. Everything in you is doing this. And you're going, oh, it's too much. How could God... Just too much. Too much. That scripture is not so much about the thing that's tempting you and drawing you away. That scripture is really about the way of escape. That's the main point of that scripture. It's the way of escape that makes that thing bearable. In other words, there's a way out of this one against two situation. You're not stuck in one against two. There is a way out. There is a way out. And a lot of times, this is where we've looked at it and realized, and we've preached on this in different ways, where we've realized, yeah, there is a way out. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the law of sin and death. And so really, it's at this point we've said, man, this is where I've just got to, by faith, set my mind on things above. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And this is where I make that decision of faith. You know, in the middle of this, you know, I'm going to make, because I know the law of the Spirit of life will make Christ Jesus make me free from the law of sin and death. I just got to set my mind on the right thing. I just got to set my mind. I got to break that power of sin. I got to do that. And I remember a great story Kenneth Hagin would tell about getting woken up in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning. He thought this gal needed healing. She had had a serious condition. She said, no, I really don't need healing. She said, I'm not feeling close to God like I used to. 2 in the morning, woke him up. He said, if we were going by feelings right now, he said, you're probably more spiritual than I am, actually. He said, but just sit down. He said, let me just show you some. And what he began to do, he began to say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you that I'm a child of God, that you love me, that I'm born again. He just began to stir up the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, he said, just watch me. He said, what happened? He said, well, your face lit up. You began to smile. He said, yeah, the Spirit of God's in there the whole time. You just got to stir him up, you know? It's like, oh, cool. And so there's a way of escape. The law of the Spirit of life is our way of escape from the law of sin and death. And again, we know this, but there's strong desire there. I know the answer. I only not know what it is technically. I know what it is. I know what I'm supposed to do. I even know the way of escape to get out, but there's strong desire. Do you take the pill? Do you take the way of escape? Do you set your mind on things above? And there are times we do. And praise God, we're free, we're set free, we're strong. As we're negotiating, there's points that we can be obedient. We can be obedient to realize that, nope, that's carnal-mindedness, I'm going to go past it. Nope, I got a great high priest, I receive his strength. Nope, this is common to man. And these are different tests that we can pass. But ultimately, when you get dealing with some of the weights and the sins so easily beset you, you can know all this stuff. But there's strong desire there. And there's something going on. There's something you're realizing. That you're not just down here to get free from the weights of sins that so easily beset you. There's something bigger going on down here. And a lot of times, there's something that's motivating you to get out of this place, but it's bigger than just even knowing the right answer. And this is where I'm just bringing it to this point. We'll call it the new creation decision, okay? We've been seduced away, strong desires. We've been negotiating, getting out of this thing the best way, all the different things we know that are true, that are right, that are good, that are scriptural. But at some point, there is something that happens in you And we're simply calling it the new creation decision. Because when you're here and you know the right answer and you're feeling it, in the face of knowing the right answer and feeling it, something has to happen. Something has to break you out of this. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And I just really want to try to get this across from this place of strong desire when you've been dealing with all this stuff, all right? And it seems like you're still stuck here. It still seems like you're stuck here. God is bringing you to a place of faith. There are feeling decisions that bring you in this direction. There are faith decisions that will bring you in this direction. And when you're here, and you've tried to negotiate with your mind, but you're just getting this, no help. At some point you realize, I don't need my soul's approval. I don't need my mind's approval to do what I know the Spirit is telling me to do. I don't need a good feeling to pass through here to get to here. I don't need this guy. I don't need this carnally minded, mind to amen my good intentions. And an important thing to realize in this, as there's, again, this is like a deep calling into deep for faith. No matter how entrenched in this you feel in this one against two situation, you never lose your ability to choose. You never lose, and that's the lie. Your feelings will say there's nothing here. Satan is lying. Nope, you've lost it. There's no desire. Be honest. Come on. The world is, sympathizing with all your weaknesses in a bad way, and it's just like this strong desire, right? Strong desire. And right here, there is a deep calling in deep that says, I can still choose. I haven't lost my ability to choose. It sounds like it. It feels like it. It looks like it, but I haven't. I remember when I was in baseball, Little League, just my first year in Little League, I was 10, it's like from 10 to 12. I got up to bat, biggest, strongest pitcher. I was a lefty, so I'm standing up there, and I'm just afraid he's going to bean me. And sure enough, he beans me. He beans me right in my shin, and I still have a mark to this day. It affected the pigmentation of my skin. Super fast pitcher. And it hurt, and I just remember just the pain, and just for the rest of that season, I just hated going up to bat. Because my whole objective and goal in going up to bat was to not get beamed. And I wish I could remember this more specifics of the backstory of this, but something clicked in that next year when I was 11. And there was a decision that I made. It was like an anger rose up in me. And I decided I'm not going to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be afraid. I'm going to go up to that plate to hit the ball. That's why I'm going up to the plate, to hit the ball. It just kind of I realized that. But there was a decision I did. I thought, well, I got to be afraid. I got to be afraid of getting beat every time I go to the plate, right? I've got to. No, I don't. I realized I had the ability to choose not to. But what if this happened? But what if this happened? But what if I hit that ball? All of a sudden, the argument changed to something. I had the ability to do that. It wasn't even like a big spiritual thing that I remember, but I just made that decision. And I batted 568 when I was an 11-year-old. I never got that good again. I was still pretty good the following year, but it wasn't. But there was something. It was just like, and I just saw this a few days ago. Bob Costas on the Major League Baseball Network was interviewing a guy, a great hitter. And he said, man, you had to go against Sandy Koufax. You had to get rattle off all these pitchers. Be honest. Oh, come on. Wasn't there a time there when you were just a little nervous, a little scared. And he said this, just, he said, "I fear no man when I have a bat in my hand." And I thought, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Because, come on, once you fear, what about it? It's like, nah. You know, you got the greater one is in you. He's greater than he that's in the world. He's in you, all right? You got the bat in your hand. It's there. There's a decision that you learn here, though. In strong lust, in strong desire, you know, there's a deep calling unto deep here that's bigger than just the victory over this thing even. There's a bigger godly narrative going on here that something rises up on the inside of you. And you go, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And as you begin to go down that path, you come to that next conclusion. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I've got the greater one. I can. That includes this. That includes saying yes to the Spirit in the midst of this. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care. You know, if you're in the middle of a movie five levels deep and you're just fully engrossed in it, you never lose your ability to hit that remote button and change the channel. You can do it. You might not feel like it or want it, but you can physically do it. And it would only be a physical response. That's what this sometimes is. It's just a physical response. There is zero inspiration. It's just faith. It's just faith. But as you're doing that, and you realize that, because you can get right back here and say, why doesn't he just make me do the right thing? Why doesn't he just make me do the right thing? For the same reason he didn't make you get saved. For the exact same reason. He made you call on his name. He made you choose him. In the face of the world, Jesus, I choose Jesus. He brings you to that same inflection point here where you're going to choose him. You're going to love him. There's going to be a faith choice of love for God that you feel zero from carnal mind in this state or your body. You're just going to make a faith choice. I love God. I choose him. He's not making me do the right thing. I'm choosing him in the same way I was saved by grace through faith. Man, there's a faith that's going to break that power of lust. And you make those decisions by faith. And you go from here and you say, yes, I am a new creation. The old has passed away. You walk right past this guy who is doing this. It's faith. I'm not feeling a thing. And you come right on over here. And you say, praise God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And it's by faith. I'm not feeling a thing. Why? Because I love God at some point. And this is where we grow up spiritually. And we cast off the spiritual victim complex. And we return to our first love in that sense. I love. Why am I in this thing in the first place? Why am I here in a church on a Sunday morning? Why did I get into this thing? At some point, we made a decision for Jesus. And that love was real. And right here is where it's going to get realer and realer. And you're in the depth and the width and the height is going to get stronger. And when that love of Christ, and you begin to realize he loves me, I'm loving him. I'm loving you. Jesus, I love you. By faith, I love you. That's my ultimate motivation. I love Jesus. All roads lead to Rome. Any godly path of righteousness leads you back to the first commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, including the new creation. It brings you back to that place where I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. And when you begin to do this and you begin to praise God and there's just nothing of your feeling and there's nothing there, and that's okay. All of a sudden you begin to say, thank you, Lord. I can do all things. I am a new creation. You will never leave me nor forsake me, and I worship you. Something happens in here. There's a joy of the Lord. There's a strength of spirit. The spirit bears witness with your spirit. Your mind's in it. Your spirit's bearing witness with your spirit. And you sense that witness. And he witnesses, yes, amen. And there's a strengthening of might by the Spirit in the inner man. And you sense a strength that rises up here. Praise God. And when that spark begins to happen, this guy right here who's been doing this, he goes, what's going on over there? He just all of a sudden, that mind, he begins, what's going on over there? And your spirit's going, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is greater than he that's in this world. And your mind goes, well, yeah, that's right. I guess so. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Oh, yeah. I got a witness on that. This guy's pretty fickle. You know that about yourself. This guy can be going this way, and he can be going this way. Really quick. He can be carnally minded. He can be spiritual. The same reasoning capacities of that mind that can be getting played by demonic wisdom and seeing things and connecting dots in a destructive way is the same mind that can be comparing spiritual with spiritual and getting revelation from God. Same mind. And when that begins to happen, and you get over here, I love this, godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. The word repentance really just means changing your mind. It's not even changing behavior, it's changing your mind. And you're by faith setting your mind on those things above. And what happens is you get that witness of the mind and the spirit. Now you're back to two against one again. And what happens? It says, observe this very thing. You sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What, listen to these words. Indignation, fear, vehement desire, zeal, vindication. And all these things, you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. That's what you experience when you, by faith, come from there over to here. It's a vindication. It's a vehement desire. It's an indignation. A righteous indignation, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's a righteous indignation against those powers and the principalities and the demonic fluff that have been playing you over here. Because now you see through it, and there is a clearing of yourself. And you broke that power of lust by the power of the Spirit of God. And you're here. It's like, praise God. There's a zeal. There's a desire. Because you went from that one against two now to that two against one. And you sense that strength of spirit, and you're restored. But what happens here ultimately is there is a deep that calls unto deep, you know? And it's like you're over here, and your mind is here, and you're feeling the pull, but you're still who you are. You're still that new creation in Christ Jesus. And really, when I'm making this movement, what does it really represent? It's really representing my attention, where I'm at. It's by faith that I'm going to come over here. And this new creation, cool stuff, that's a cold shower to that stuff over there. There's a reason why we don't just naturally want to move over here. We move over here by faith. But what's going on here? There is a upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm at that point, and it's like, this isn't about finding myself anymore. I've found myself. I've just got to be who I am. And something happens over here, that deep that calls on the deep says, stop playing around with this, Ed. You know who you are. Be who you are. By faith, I make that decision and come over here. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith, praise God. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But that faith, you know, he's a rewarder of those who believe he is, and those who diligently seek him. And there is something about yourself that you have to believe who you are in Christ is just as much of believing he is knowing who you are in him. And at some point, I got to make that faith decision. He's not a rewarder of my good intentions. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, those steps of faith. That's where you experience the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit is sensed here, not there. There's some steps of faith where I'm coming back here, and I experience that. And ultimately, that power of lust gets broken in a way that I experience a freedom from it, but I'm also learning a bigger picture thing. There's a new creation decision. This is new creation thinking. I'm not just dealing with the weights and the sins that so easily beset me to be free from the weights and the sins that so easily beset me. I want to know who I am in Christ. I want to be free from that, because when that thing is no longer besetting you anymore, there is more of the workmanship you are in Christ Jesus that you discover. Do you realize that when you are free from that stuff, it frees up resources of your mind and your attention and the color of who you are, your God-given personality, peace, joy? There's an expression that you reap here of the Spirit. And that's the bigger truth, the bigger joy, the bigger revelation of breaking the power of lust. You're breaking that power of lust as a new creation to find out who you are in him, to be free from those things so you can be who you are. And so, new creation thinking, dealing with lust. Like I said, I just wanted to really kind of get into some things. What we know, the apparent, the drawn away, the negotiation. But that new creation decision gets into motive of why we're doing what we're doing. And it ties back to who we are in Christ, who we are in Him. Here's just a little excerpt of a song from Peter Furler called I'm Alive. It says, when I was locked inside my head, when I was lost in a maze of doubt, you called my name and woke me up. You called my name and led me out. I'm alive. I'm on fire. My spirit burns with desire. You set me alight, bright-eyed, with no way to hold it inside. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. He wakes you up. And that's, I heard a preacher put it this way. God didn't come here to make bad people good. He came here to make dead people live. Because when you make dead people live, it's a newness of life. And the goodness isn't an external imposition on you. It's a goodness that's within you. And when you get free from that power of lust, it's not because brother so-and-so was doing this that made you free. There was that step of faith, and you realize, this is who I am. I am a new creation. I am free from that thing. This is who I am. And there's a life, and there's the ability, and that thing's broken off, but it's from the inside out. I'm living. He makes dead men live. We're not serving in an illness letter, but in the newness of life. And in that newness of life, there are these choices, these inflection points where I love you, Jesus. Here we go. By faith, I'm going to just walk. I'm going to declare who you say I am. I'm going to declare. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to receive His grace to help in time of need. So, new creation thinking, dealing with lust. Know that this is stuff we all go through. This is all common to man stuff. And we all have our testimonials and stories here of things we've overcome and things we're still dealing with, all right? But man, it's important to know that God is ultimately getting you free. He's getting you free, not to just be free, but to be who you are, to begin to think like a new creation. And then next week, we're going to take a look at this guy right here, this kind of fickle guy that can just go in directions. You know, left and right, and we're going to really see how we can, with new creation thinking, put a spine in this guy and really give him some strength and help you and work with you in this battle. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus just for the power of your word, your spirit. I just pray, Lord, that this truth, I just pray that second sermon just work in our hearts and just show us, encourage us, just give us eyes to see, Lord, that those things that have tripped us up, those different forms of lust to the flesh and that strong desire, that strong desire is not stronger than He who is in us, that we do have a bat in our hands and we don't have to be afraid. We don't need permission to feel anything. We just have to, by faith, believe. We've never lost our ability to choose. Go ahead and make that a declaration of faith. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I declare you are in me. You are greater than all temptation, than any carnal-mindedness. In the middle of that, of the worst temptation, I can swing that bat. I can hit anything Satan throws at me. Because you are greater than he that's in this world. And by faith, I declare I'm free from that thing. My new creation has no desire there. And I live from that new creation. Because that's who I really am. Thank you for making me free and breaking the power of all lust in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, go ahead and receive that this morning. Again, this is kind of a series, bigger thing about new creation thinking, you know, and we got those three players. And this is really a big one right here, that pull and the lust of the flesh. And we're going to be talking about what we can do with this guy right here and then just the power of the new creation spirit as we kind of go through the series. But it's such an important one to address immediately.